Big, big win for the Mox. And welcome back, Lamont Paris. Coach, we got you now.
All good. We're here.
All good. I love that you told Wells you didn't have time for us today. He totally bit it. You should have seen his face.
I thought maybe, hey, they've won five straight. He's getting pulled a lot of areas now, and he doesn't have time for us here anymore.
Yeah, come on now.
All right, before we get into last night, well, this involves last night. Darren Revelle just tweeted out that a guy bet $5 on a 12-leg parlay yesterday. It had seven NBA games, five college games, and one of his college games was UTC minus a point and a half against ETSU. Lamont, you helped this guy win $11,358 for putting a five spot down.
On $5?
On $5, yep.
Wow. I don't know if we get any royalties for that or any play calls or what. I don't know.
Couple more scholarships.
Yeah, there you go.
Courtesy of DraftKings, yes. All right, hey, you know, with two remarkable games, I saw your post game last night where you talked about how wild these two games have been, but a credit to you, you could be like approaching villain-type status up in Johnson City.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it's well, I don't know if it'll be me or if it's Jason Shea, one of the two. But no, I'm just kidding. He's a great guy. But yeah, I'm sure they're not happy that we won those two games, but we were overdue. I'll tell you that much. And our staff and me, particularly in our team, while I've been here, we were overdue. We were 0-8 coming into it as for our team, and then 0-10 in the last 10 games. So we needed to get the record, the thing tilted back in our direction a little bit more. So, but our guys, man, they played well. They played hard. They played so hard in both of those games. Both teams did. What two good college basketball games, weren't they? I mean, they both were down to the wire. Really good games, back and forth. And so it was a lot of fun.
All right, question about the timeout, their three-pointer. Of course, it gets waved off because the ETSU bench had called a timeout. Do you know if that was mm-hmm. Jason Shea, or do you know if it was an assistant? Because there was some scuttle on social media last night that it may have been an assistant coach that called the timeout.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate.
Okay,
you know, I looked at it. It didn't appear that Coach Shea was aggressively trying to call a timeout. But I don't want to say for sure what was going on. But, you know, in reality, to be honest with you, it the only reason why it's being second-guessed is because that shot went in, right?
Right.
I mean, if that shot misses, then whoever called that timeout would be praised. Most certainly, they would be praised. And so, you know, that's the reality of it. Unfortunately, the shot did go in. But, you know, the guy got the rebound. He's not a big-time scorer. He was falling away from the basket a little bit. It looked like scramble mode, which can go either way. I mean, scramble mode can really help you offensively because the defense is in scramble mode also. But scramble mode can hurt you sometimes, too, if you'd like to have some sort of semblance of what you're going to get as a look at the rim. So, you know, either way, regardless, I don't think it's to be questioned. I think it made a lot of sense to do either, to be honest with you.
It brings up an interesting point, though, Lamont, and you're listening to Lamont Paris, the coach of the Mox, here on Press Row on ESPN 105 on The Zone. What liberty, or do you give any liberty to your assistant coaches for calling a timeout? Are they allowed to call a timeout?
Not that.
Okay.
They don't. Nope. No time's out. that's not what they do. So that's for players and for me. And the head coaches, we can only call timeouts, and I think it's really supposed to only come from the head coach. But I think it's only in the last 2 minutes maybe that we can call the timeout. I think that's it. Otherwise, it's got to be the players have to do it. So I've oftentimes gone to the player to get them to call a timeout.
Gotcha. And you never called a timeout while you were at Wisconsin?
Never.
Okay.
Whoa.
Someone would have gotten really mad.
Do you know who the head coach was there for most of my tenure?
A legend.
Man, that's a real question? Okay. Yeah, no, I wasn't calling any timeouts. I wasn't calling any timeouts under Bo Ryan. That's for sure.
And that's why, I mean, it when that came, and I know you can't speculate on what happens at the other bench, but I'm just like, I would imagine everybody's got a deal like Bo had and like you've got here. I mean, it's just, you're the guy. It's one voice and one guy calls the timeouts.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm not in their locker room or in their huddles. And because I've also seen some huddles and some teams that I know, and they'll give, you know, like football, they'll give the offense to one guy and the defense to another guy. And I've seen some games where I see the head coach spectating in the last timeout as the assistant coach is giving offensive instructions to the team on what they're going to do. And, you know, that's a lot of trust. And we have actually a couple situations. You know, I know there's one particular scenario that Tanner Bronson's got something that's really good when and if we ever need it, he'll be the one that's really giving the details of it, because he'll do it better than I will. But everything else, I don't know. I mean, I just like you said, I like one voice. You know, I meet with the assistants usually right before the timeout, and they give me information, and I'll contemplate that information, and sometimes I'll give that to the team. And even if it's stuff that comes from the assistant coaches, I don't have pride or ego that way. Like, I'm not above that. But I just think it was coming from one voice. The guys are locked in on that, and I think it's important.
All right, how's the team holding up? You're in the middle of a Saturday, Monday, Wednesday deal. Got the huge win last night. Got to turn around and host Western Carolina tomorrow. How's the team holding up?
Yeah, we're doing well. So today we just got out of practice. We went a little lighter today, just, you know, we got some heavy minute guys with that many games and that in a quick turnarounds. And so we went over some of the stuff that we did well in the Western game, as well as some of the stuff that we need to improve from that game, and a couple defensive things, guard some of their stuff. Didn't go too long today, but got after it for a short time and did a little active recovery and got some shots up. But I think everybody's in good shape. They're in good spirits, that's for sure. You know, I've broken down and started playing some music at practice during certain times of the practice to warm up and a couple things. And so I'm just not really a rah-rah guy. I'm normally more substance type of person. But they like it. They like it, and it puts them in a good mood. And as long as they're mature and continue to work hard and take practice seriously and are locked in, then I'm not that rigid that I won't get on the same level as these guys. So
who picks the tunes? Who picks the tunes?
It's been a combination. I've been being the DJ here the last couple of practices, but sometimes it'll be the guys will have a playlist. I just tell them to get the clean version of their playlist. So they'll send me, I know Malachi sent me a playlist one time. Dave sent me a bunch of songs another time. I've searched a couple on Pandora, just played those straight from there. So I've gone through some of my stuff, but just a mix. Yeah. You didn't know I was moonlighting as a DJ.
Hey. You cannot surprise me at this point. Hey, I was reading an article today on offensive possessions in college basketball, and I saw where Alabama's average possession is 14.1 seconds, Gonzaga 14.2. Then you got schools like Virginia that are 20.1, a lot more deliberate. But I was reading this article, and Nate Oates said, you typically get your most efficient shot in the first 6 seconds of the clock. I was curious, how long is one of your offensive possessions?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, KenPom does a pace. They rank every team in the country on pace. I know we got a couple teams from our league that are way up there.
Mm-hmm.
Samford was up there. Citadel was way up there. I think they were sixth in the country in points per game also when we played them. But I don't know where ours is. You know, I think that's kind of skewed, that statement. You get your best shot within 6 seconds of the shot clock, right? Well, let's imagine this. I steal the ball from you, and it's going to be an unguarded layup on the end. That counts, right? That's
right.
A possession.
Right.
That's going to take me 3 seconds, right? So, of course, I get a good shot in that scenario. You get a super long rebound, kick ahead to me, a two-on-one. Any sort of outnumbered situation is going to be within 6 seconds, right? So, of course, you're going to get high-quality shots in the first 6 seconds. That's the only reason why you're shooting the ball in the first 6 seconds. You're not walking the ball up and shooting it in 6 seconds, you know? So, I don't know. I'd have to dig into that to get some real validity out of that statement, to be honest with you.
All right, last question for you, especially on the heels of last night. How does 1,000 people sound at McKenzie compared to what you had before?
Oh, it sounded great. It sounded great just to have people in here. It's really good for the guys just to have some other people that they know are cheering for them, just to hear them, just to hear somebody heckle one of the calls. You know, it's just great. It's like, I thought I was the only guy that didn't like the call. So now somebody else is doing my work for me. I got less to do on the sidelines now. We have 1,000 people there, so I don't have to say quite as much to the officials. But it sounded great. Felt great just to have that support. You know, it's actually something that you can feel. It's funny to explain that, but you can. And so we're really excited. The guys are really excited, and it's just a really, really good thing.
5 in a row. Got to like the sound of that. 17-5 overall, 8-5 in the SoCon. Lamont, listen, congratulations on a season sweep of ETSU, and best of luck against Western Carolina tomorrow night.
All right. Appreciate you. Thanks for having me, and stay tuned and go Mocs.
All righty. The always entertaining Lamont Paris joining us here on Press Row. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.